Okay, imagine this world, right? Where you've got ancient gods, really powerful priests, and this constant struggle for true freedom all crashing together. Today, we're doing a deep dive into a text called MAD1.PDF. It's an excerpt, and it's, well, not quite history, not really mythology either. It's more like a mix of fantasy, philosophy, mysticism, all wrapped up in this really gripping story. And the author says right up front, look, this isn't meant to be some scientific thesis. It's a fantasy novel.
Yeah.
The whole point is to try and free the human mind, offer new ways of looking at life, and challenge how we just sort of absorb these abstract ideas like good or bad.
Yeah, and what's so fascinating is how the author just deliberately blurs those lines, you know? It really invites you, the listener, to think about familiar stuff like freedom through this completely fresh imaginative lens. It forces us to really unpack what it means to be a free human, which turns out is exactly what our main character's name means.
Right. So that's our mission today. We're going to pull out the key ideas from this really rich story. We'll follow this one character, Mad, through these totally different worlds, all to understand what freedom might actually mean for you. Okay, so let's start at the beginning, the Village of Arge. It's nestled in this harsh climate, apparently, but it's thriving because it's by a river. Picture it. Mud brick homes, this sort of half-pyramid temple carved with the sun, moon, stars, and these really striking statues of a large-breasted fat goddess. Kids are running around everywhere, totally free, laughing.
That's pretty idyllic.
It does. And this is where we meet Mad, whose name, we find out pretty quick, means free human. His early life seems great, but then bam, something dramatic happens. He gets bitten by a snake.
And this is where it gets really interesting. Yeah. Mad's mother, Tara, she's desperate. She makes this plea to Ram, who's the elderly priestess of their goddess, Ninhursag. Basically, she says, if you save my son, he's yours. He'll be dedicated to the goddess. And, well, Mad miraculously recovers. So now he's literally the temple's property.
Wow. Okay, so right away, the kid named Free Human becomes temple property.
Oh,
That's
huh.
quite a setup. Is this dedication presented as like a good thing? Or is it already a kind of bondage?
That's the tension, isn't it? The text points this out pretty clearly. It contrasts that natural, carefree freedom of children you know, bowing to no one, feeling indebted to no one, sacrificing themselves for no one with what comes later. That age of adults where you learn about selling, buying, sin, virtue, trust, betrayal, punishing, forgiving, all those loaded concepts.
So his dedication immediately flags this core theme. It's not just about physical freedom.
Exactly. It sets the whole philosophical tone. And Ram, the priestess, she becomes like a surrogate mother to him. She teaches him about the temple, the goddess, and also crucially about this magic reed.
Ah, the magic reed. What's that about?
It produces these enchanting melodies. It seems to represent a different kind of power, maybe something more natural, less about rules and control.
Okay, so time passes. The text says it moves like a river carrying everything before it. Nice line. Matt's 10 now. He's feeling cooped up in Arge, even though Rom warns him about the outside world. He's tired of temple duties, wants to be like the hunters, wants adventure. You know, typical kid stuff, maybe.
Well, his desire for adventure gets answered, but maybe not how he expected. This is a huge turning point. Soldiers from a city called Uruk raid Arge. They burn homes, kill people, and take the survivors as slaves. Mad, his mother Tara, and two old guys, Makrut and Sherba, are all captured.
So much for idyllic Arge. His world is shattered.
Completely. And this is where his sort of innocent idea of freedom just smacks head on into the harsh reality of a much more structured, controlling society.
And Uruk sounds totally different from Arch.
Oh, yeah. It's described as this vast walled city. Very different. It's all about hierarchy, rules, soldiers in iron reinforced clothing. It's ruled by this chief priest, Kotar, who serves a different god, Tammuz.
Okay, so Mad gets taken to Uruk. What happens to him there?
He's sold as a slave to a noble woman named Sunak.
Right. But then he meets someone important, doesn't he?
Because Danil, he's also a slave in Sunak's household, a debt slave, but he's highly educated.
And Danil becomes his teacher, in a way.
Exactly. Danil teaches Mad all about Uruk's system, about the Mies.
The Mies, what are those?
Basically, the laws, the rules, the divine decrees that govern absolutely everything in Uruk. Danil explains that the real power of Uruk and other big Sumerian cities comes from what he calls the magic of writing.
The magic of writing, not spells, but administration.
Pretty much, yeah. It allows the priests and rulers to control everything: daily life, assigning duties, tracking debts, enforcing compliance through punishment, and some of those punishments are brutal. Danil tells him about a law where a husband can break his wife's teeth with a brick just for arguing.
Oof, That's grim. So Mad starts to see control in a new way.
Definitely. He realizes this bad magic isn't just like evil sorcery. It's the system itself. It's the laws, the fear they inspire, the economic leverage, like using silver. That's what creates power and enslavement in Uruk.
And meanwhile, the woman who owns him, Sunak, she has plans for him too, right?
Oh yeah, big plans. She sees Mad as a tool. She wants him to kill the chief priest, Kotar, so she can marry the god Tammuz and become a goddess herself. She tries to manipulate Mad, feeding him this line about being a savior.
So he's trapped between these powerful forces. What does he do? Does he train?
He does. He spends 7 months learning everything he needs to survive and potentially carry out Sunak's plan. Sword fighting, reading, Uruk's complicated social rules. He even negotiates with Sunak, gets her to promise him freedom if he kills Kotar.
But does he do it?
Nope. In the end, true to his name, free human, he makes his own choice. He doesn't kill Kotar for her. Instead, he manages to escape Uruk altogether.
And he takes the old men, Makrut and Sherba, with him.
Exactly. They're on the run now.
And where are they headed?
Towards Eridu. That's the city Danil told him about, remember? The home of the wise god Enki.
Right. And Mad believes his destiny is there.
Yeah.
He has this idea he needs to rescue someone.
Yeah, he's got this mission in his head to rescue the goddess Inanna.
Okay, let's pause there. Why Inanna? What's her story in this narrative? Why does she need rescuing from Enki?
Well, the backstory we get is that Inanna, who's the goddess of Uruk, was looking for a partner. She chose the shepherd god Tammuz over the wise god Enki. Enki didn't take the rejection well. He got angry, tricked Tammuz, and imprisoned him. Then Inanna tried to save Tammuz, offering to take his place. So Enki imprisoned her in his underground palace, the Abzu.
And Tammuz. Did he appreciate the sacrifice?
Apparently not. Once he was freed, he went back to Uruk and basically forgot about Inanna, even betrayed her with other women. Classic divine drama.
Okay, so Mad feels he needs to rescue this Inanna from Enki and Eridu.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
So as they approach Eridu, they meet Ninshubur in the forest. She's Inanna's loyal chief assistant, portrayed as this wise old woman leading a resistance group. Get this, she's been digging tunnels for 15 years trying to reach Inanna in the Abzu.
15 years, wow. And she has a daughter too, right? Pugat?
Yes, Pugat. Her story is interesting too. She was a noble woman back in Uruk. She spent half her fortune to free her lover, who was a slave.
And Uruk society didn't like that.
Not at all. She was ostracized. So she represents a different kind of freedom, maybe. One that comes at a high social cost.
So Ninshubur becomes another guide for Mad.
In a way, yeah. She's calm, insightful. She challenges him a bit, tells him he still has a lot to learn about people, about the tricks of the gods. But she also confirms something important. Mad was chosen for this mission by Ninhursag, his goddess from Arch.
Ah, so it connects back to his origins.
Definitely. It suggests there's a deeper purpose than even Mad understands at this point. Ninshubur herself is incredibly devoted, gathering over 100 warriors over those 15 years, all focused on saving Inanna.
And does Mad use his magic reed in this part of the story?
He does. He plays it and captivates people. There's even a scene where he charms a dangerous snake during an expedition. It reinforces this idea that his power is different. It's not control like Uruk's laws or Enki's magic. Maybe it's something more innate, persuasive.
Okay, so the clock is ticking. There's a spring festival coming up, and that's the deadline, right?
Right. If Inanna isn't freed by then, the god Tammuz is set to marry chief priest Kotar's daughter.
Which would cement Kotar's power in Uruk. The stakes are high.
Very high. And they hit a setback. The tunnels Nishubur's group have been digging, they collapse. The text suggests it might be Enki's magic. There were these incredibly heavy rains that lasted for 11 days straight.
So the direct route is blocked. What's the new plan?
Maz comes up with something really bold and risky. There's a contest being held at the festival. His plan is to enter the contest, win, and then demand Inanna's freedom as his prize.
Just demand it from the priests of Enki.
Seems crazy, right? But he performs with his magic reed during the contest, and it's more than just music. The text says he charms everyone, the audience, even the priests. They're pulled into this dreamlike state.
Okay.
So when they ask him what prize he wants, he just comes out with it, clear as day. I want to save goddess Inanna.
Wow, how on earth does that fly? Why would they even consider such a demand?
Well, it's partly Mad's sheer honesty and courage, maybe amplified by the reed's effect. But there's politics, too. Ninshubur is there, backing him, presenting him as this living legend, fulfilling a prophecy. And remember Sunak, she's still around. And she sees this as a way to potentially get rid of Kotar and maybe grab Inanna's power.
Ah, so multiple players pushing things along.
Exactly. All this pressure forces Enki's chief priest, a guy named Isimit, to actually go and consult Enki himself.
And what does the great god Enki say?
He says yes, but it's absolutely a trap.
How so?
Enki grants the wish, but says Mad must come down into the Abzu himself, his seven-layered underground palace, where Inanna supposedly already is.
Walk right into the lion's den.
Pretty much. Mm. But Mad, driven by his mission, believing Ninhursag is protecting him, he accepts. He goes.
So he descends into the Abzu. It sounds dark and dangerous.
It is. He uses his reed again to handle snakes down there, but he does get bitten eventually, in the deepest level.
And then he confronts Enki.
Yes, face to face. And Enki lays it all out. The whole rescue Inanna mission, it was all a setup. A complex trap designed by Enki specifically to lure Mad in and neutralize Ninhursag's influence.
Okay, so Enki reveals his master plan. What about Inanna? Is she there?
This is the biggest twist. Enki tries one last deception. He shows Mad this weak, frail-looking woman and says, here she is, here's Inanna.
But Mad doesn't buy it.
No. He remembers Ninhursag, his goddess from Arj, the one who guided him, and then he sees her. The text says, Mad's eyes widened. He stared at the face he knew, the face that belonged to the eyes that had watched him grow up. It was Ninhursag's eyes he had been dreaming of for years.
Wait, so Inanna is Ninhursag? Or connected somehow?
The text strongly implies they are one and the same, or at least that the eyes, the presence Mad recognizes, is Ninhursag's. It's a profound revelation.
That changes everything about his mission. He wasn't rescuing a stranger.
Exactly. It reframes the whole journey, and it suggests that the true, most powerful magic Ninhursag gave him wasn't an object or a spell.
What was it then?
It was his inherent nature, his freedom, his ability not to fear the gods, to question authority, to stand up for what he believes, even when trapped.
And then he does something symbolic, right? With a necklace?
Yes. Wow. He throws away the star necklace Ninhursag had given him way back when. It's like he's discarding the external symbol because he's finally realized the power, the freedom was inside him all along. He doesn't need the token anymore.
Wow. Okay, so that journey from that simple village through slavery in Uruk, the plotting, the quest, it all leads to this internal realization.
Yeah, it's quite a ride. It really shows how his quest for freedom morphs from just wanting to escape Arj or escape slavery into this huge challenge against the entire system, even the gods.
So unpacking all that, this deep dive really highlights how concepts like freedom and slavery aren't just about, you know, physical chains.
Not at all. It's so much about the mental constructs, the societal rules, those me's in Uruk. They controlled everything. That's a powerful kind of enslavement, even if you're not literally in chains. It shapes how you think, what you value.
The story definitely pushes you to question authority, doesn't it? To look past the surface. Even systems that seem benevolent, like the initial temple dedication, can have hidden controls or agendas.
Right. And Mad's ultimate power, his magic, wasn't beating Enki with a bigger spell. It was his refusal to be mentally enslaved by fear or by other people's definitions of who he should be or what he should want.
Which really brings it back to the listener, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It leaves you thinking, okay, in our world with all its information, its complex social structures, its pressures, what kinds of bad magic, what subtle controls might you be accepting without realizing it? And maybe more importantly, what's that innate, most powerful magic, that core freedom that you possess to push back and truly be, well, a free human.